On today's episode, we visit our resort series again, and we're at the Deluxe Resorts. We're hitting the Polynesian this time. This is episode 108 of the Othamano Rails podcast. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is the Off the Monorails podcast, and I am your host, Jordan, joined today, as always, by my two fellow co-hosts, Justin and Ryan. Fellas, happy March.
Happy March,
happy
to
March
you,
fellas.
Happy Flower and Garden as well, Festival.
Hey.
Yes.
Thank you.
All those.
So many momentous occasions to celebrate today.
You don't look a day over nine.
Yes.
For actually, those of you that do not know.
Yeah. That's accurate. I am
good
nine.
Good old leap year, huh?
Yeah, I just turned nine. I am a leap year baby, a leap day baby, February 29th. So I did get a birthday this year, and always blessed to make it another round, that's for sure. And yeah, I don't know how we're already to March in 2024, but somehow we got here this fast. It's crazy. I don't know what happens to time anymore. Time is just a thing now.
Yeah, the first festival of 2024 is come and gone.
Yeah, and
put
we're
that into perspective.
And we now started the second one. So yeah, hopefully you all listening are on your way to Flower and Garden, or if maybe even already experienced it on opening day. But hopefully, if you haven't visited yet and you're planning your visit, hopefully you've listened to last week's episode where we dove into all the festivities and previewing everything happening with this year's edition of the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. It was a real fun one to do. We got
it's
a little,
always fun when Justin gets to do some ethnic language.
Yeah, I get to brush up on my French,
yeah,
if you will.
And he's not talking about curse words this time.
shout out to our longtime listener, Alex. Apparently, I am a staple for her listening experience whenever we do these.
The people love it,
festival
Justin.
Previews. So
do it for the people.
I did it for you.
We are a show for the people.
That's true.
Really, that's where we stand. So
for the people.
And the funny thing is, for as long as we've been doing festival previews and reviews, Justin always seems to get the roulette wheel to land on him for France every single time, and it's not by design at all.
I don't. Yeah,
it's just.
It's so good.
RNG.
It's so good. But yeah, so
I think this year's edition of it was the bumpiest ride of them all.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. Yeah, it was good. So yeah, definitely go check that out. And yes, thank you. Thanks for giving me that bright light shining for this one as well. That was so good.
It's been a week. You know, we needed something to laugh about, and
that was
worth it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we were talking about, you know, before we started recording the show, how you got to take those moments and take advantage of the time you have, right? I said, you know, this time is just kind of ticking away real fast, man.
Yeah.
And the moments you have to spend time with your family, doing things you love, like going to Disney, going to the festivals, staying in awesome resorts. Those opportunities, if you think about it, can be far and few between if you let it happen. And so we encourage you to take advantage of every moment and chance you have to go and make sure you're spending time with your loved ones, with your friends, doing things that you love doing, especially doing them together. So don't want to get philosophical on this episode, but it's just I just started thinking about it after our conversation earlier, and you know, it's just, I'm reminded just how fast time does move. And,
well, and also places a price tag on time. You know, time is very valuable if you really break it down.
Yeah.
You know, we invest a lot of time to our jobs and making money and paying the bills and doing everything we are, you know, responsible for. You know, it's equally as important to spend some time with your family, build your relationships up at your home life, and kicking it off together at Disney, it's just as valuable. So good lesson to learn there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes back to, I mean, if you listen to early episodes of this podcast, right, we emphasize that, and we've emphasized that along the way, that we're here in hopes that you learn and have something to take away from each and every episode that can give you some of that time back, right? That can give you some learnings that you can apply and enjoy yourselves more and more every time you go to Disney. Or, hey, if you're just riding along in your car right now, listening to this, or at the gym or what have you, maybe this is your time to yourself. Maybe this is your time for reflection. Maybe this is your time to let loose outside of that job, right, that you're struggling through on some days, right? And so thank you for allowing us to be part of that time. It's all an investment, right? It's all an investment. We surround ourselves and involve ourselves in things that should try to boost us up, should try to lift us up to a higher self-being, right? And, you know, if this show is part of that for you, man, what a privilege. Because I know it is for us. I know this time that we spend together chit-chatting and blabbering on a lot of things, It's a damn good time for us, and it's a great I'm gonna call it outlet for us to just be ourselves and have conversations and just, you know, mess around, right? So thank you for listening, thank you for supporting the show, and thanks for just spending some time with us.
Yeah, and on that same note, you know, these recording sessions are a time of decompression for me. Like you said, Jordan, it's an outlet for us to just kind of put our guard down, and we can talk about our shitty week, you know, previous to recording, and just kind of get it all out with each other and gripe and complain. And then we, you know, get on here and we have a common goal of why we're here, and our listeners have a common goal of why they listen to us, whether it be to hear Justin speak French or just to keep up with the world of Disney and all the happenings of it. And yeah, this is an outlet for me. This is, you know, even much like how going to Disney is, this is a release from everyday life for me.
Yeah.
And everybody needs that outlet. And it's a healthy thing to just break away from that monotony. And if you can find that outlet that gives you some sort of inner peace, you deserve it. So, you know, Disney just happens to be part of our inner peace, even though it might be turmoil and chaotic at times. That's where our families go to just let go of everything. Like we say, you hit those arches and you get in that bubble, and it seems like the rest of the world just doesn't exist for that point in time. And whether that be this show or the visits to the theme parks and the food and the rides, all of it together is a decompression from just the stresses and the monotony of everyday life.
Yeah, and we covered a lot of that when we talked about kind of just like what the show has meant to us as we've built and grown, right? In episode 99, episode 100, leading up to that, you know, that big monumentous occasion for us. But yeah, the show represents a lot. You know, it's a big part of our lives now. It's, you know, it's built into what we do. But at the end of the day, we're just three guys who like Disney, just hanging out, right? So
that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that today. We're gonna hang out. We're gonna talk a little bit about one of our favorite resorts.
You got your lane handy.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got. So many things to talk about, but Ryan, I know you're itching to get us off right.
Oh yeah. So as always, our first little bit of the show, our banter session, is our coffee break, and it is brought to you by our friends at expeditionroasters.com. If you like coffee, this is the place you need to go. They have pop culture and theme park inspired coffees and lots of great flavors and roasts to choose from. I can't steer you towards one single roast because they're all fabulous. And I could just say, start working through their catalog like we have. I tend to order 5, 6, 7 bags at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to do so, make sure you use code OFFTHEMONORAILS at checkout. We will provide an affiliate link in our episode description. And as a bonus perk, too, to save you some money, go ahead and get your cart to $65 or more, and that'll get yourself free shipping. And also join their Beans Rewards program, and you can start earning points towards free coffee on every purchase. So there's 3 different ways to save yourself some money and get some fabulous coffee. So that is, once again, expeditionroasters.com. And fellas, let's dive into some news now.
Yeah, actually, real quick, I just want to give a shout out. Derek and Amanda both won our main giveaway for our contest back on episode 100. They got their little care packages recently, and they included some Expedition Roasters coffee. So excited to hear their thoughts. Hopefully they can they're listening to this right now and can send us their thoughts on Instagram.
For it.
But yeah, if we promise you, we're not trying to steer you in a wrong way when it comes to the coffee.
So. Right. Yeah. Stop robbing yourselves of this flavor experience. Yeah. Just stop doing it to yourself. Trust us. Go order a bag and just let it happen. Yeah. I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll tell you guys one thing, too, before we get into the news with the coffee business. I bought a bag of Bobsledder's Brew whole bean.
Yep.
And I took the whole bag and ground it up fresh. And my entire house smells, it has smelled like coffee for the past week. And it is amazing smelling.
Yeah. That's, I mean.
And like even just loading the coffee pot up at night for the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
The whole house just smells like the inside of a Starbucks. It's so good.
I'm telling you get into these flavors, man, and it just the house starts to
the profiles.
Yeah, it's we're telling you people, please go get into business. They're a great company. It's small family-owned business, so you're supporting a small business. They just make a great
product. Better than Starbucks.
Make great product.
They're better than Dunkin'. Oh, trust us.
I made Jordan a Bobsledder's Brew latte on my espresso machine the last get together we had for New Year's. And if that tells you what kind of coffee snob I am, I've got an espresso machine. But it was the truth.
Yeah. I got about 3 or 4 sips of that, and then my wife decided to finish that one when I said, hey, hold this for me for a minute. Come back to the coffee cup and it's gone. So I guess it was pretty bad, huh? So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get some news, fellas.
Yeah, there was quite a bit over the past week. So we're going to kick it off with, we finally got to see the construction walls removed from Grand Avenue in Hollywood Studios. And we got to see Ice Cold Hot Hydraulics.
Yeah, and,
another food spot.
I personally, the curbside appeal, I dig it.
Yeah,
just has great colors. Should blend in perfectly with everything right there on Grand Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So cannot wait to dive in some of the cuisines and some of the offerings they have here.
Hollywood Studios needed another walk up, kiosk type food spot. It honestly, it could use a few more. This is a huge win to me for this park.
Yeah, and I'm excited about just seeing how the menu evolves as well, right? Seeing what type of things they continue to release here, and kind of what we talked about that when we heard about this opening, right, a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how Animal Kingdom's always kind of been on the edge of like pushing new ideas and new concepts for food and for snack items, quick service items. And I think hopefully they use this as that same concept, right? If we can be a little, be a little different here, right? We can play with our food a little bit, so to speak. I thought that the stand over by Tron in Magic Kingdom, I thought maybe that could be it for Magic Kingdom, right? And I mean, they basically shut that, didn't shut it down, but they removed a lot of the items from that, right? And we haven't seen quite a redevelopment of other items to take their places at that stand yet.
Yeah.
So that's what you think about, especially when you contrast Disney World versus Disneyland. And I understand they're completely different things, right? But there are those cult following snack items at Disneyland, right? And especially a lot more that have come out for that San Fran Tokyo area. They've done a lot of different, again, Disneyland and California Adventure lean heavily into it, right? They understand, hey, we're going to be a snack focused place, right? And we're going to bring out these really cool snacks. Disney World, I need them to grasp that a little bit more. I feel, and again, there are staples, right? There's like, you know, the spring roll cart in Magic Kingdom and Adventureland. You got some other little things like that sprinkled around. And yes, there are more parks here, right? So we got to be a little bit more sporadic with it too. But I still think we need more of that. I think we need more that we can hang our hat on as Walt Disney World parks, right?
Fair argument.
So I'm hoping that's what this becomes.
So not necessarily brick and mortar, but you're saying mobilized carts are a thing that you would.
I just want a place where we can go and say, hey, I want to go get something different, right? Something unique that we can hang our hat on and say, man, I can't wait to go back to the park and go to here, where I know I could just walk up and get it. I don't have to make a reservation. I don't have.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Ronto wrap for us, right? Like, anytime I can get my hands on that breakfast Ronto wrap, money, right?
Dude, you're onto something here. What if that was a standalone cart? Think about that.
I mean, it kind of is, though. I mean, it's not hard to get to it. It's not hard, and it's not hard to order, especially with the mobile order. So, but I think things wrong. Like that, right, Justin? Like, it doesn't have to be like a standalone cart. I hear what you're saying,
Just grab it and go.
Yeah. But yeah, something that I can easily access that is super unique, that brings me an additional value of going to that park. I mean, hey, I'm just spending more money at your place, right? When it's all said and done. So that's what I'm looking for. And maybe they can do that.
Well, see, on that same note too, the Golden Oak Outpost at Magic Kingdom, which is the quick service that is kind of between Pirates of the Caribbean and Big Thunder Mountain, kind of that little area by Pecos Bills.
Yep.
You know, they're kind of open like limited times and their menu changes, but they're offering beignets and strawberry dipping sauce right now.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. As part
of course, this is in the wake of Tiana, you know, Bayou Adventure.
Welcoming you right on in.
Being able to enjoy beignets at Magic Kingdom, I mean, can you think of a better vibe?
Yeah.
And, you know, for now, they released them in a lineup of food that's celebrating Women's Month and can run through March. But, you know, they may be kind of using this as a foreshadowing because they're – and I was watching Paging Mr. Morrow's latest video where he actually tries these beignets and says they're amazing. But he actually rolls out a concept where there is room for them to do a New Orleans square.
Yeah, there is.
Between Frontierland and Adventureland.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar to what we have spoke about in recent weeks. So we're not the only ones out there churning these ideas up.
Yeah, Ryan, maybe they are kind of getting a gauge of audience interest and just a test of, hey, let's get used to making these in large quantities and see if we can get the quality to stay the same. Because, hey, in a couple months, we're probably going to have to churn these things out more than we are right now. Right,
they're just casting lines now.
So it's like, hey, well, this is just kind of a little test right now, okay? Oh, yeah, it's a special limited time offering for this celebration, whatever. But let's be honest. They have a brand new attraction opening in just a few months.
Yes.
And better yet, they probably have a restaurant planned down the line soon to follow after. And they're probably going to have to produce these in mass quantities, but still try to get the same quality every single time. I think this is giving them practice and practice and practice and see how the audience receives
it. Now,
and I'm here for
it. Now, hear me out on this concept. Yeah. Does this warrant next year maybe Magic Kingdom having a standalone Mardi Gras celebration?
I would love it. I would love that.
If you put the right infrastructure in place, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, right?
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah, because they do it over right at French Quarter, and
yep,
it's a whole parade.
And Universal
thing.
Has one.
Yeah, and Universal does huge. A huge, huge thing for it, yeah. Parade and all that, too, with the big floats.
They would have to do away with the Festival of Fantasy Parade, because that's where it starts, but I think that would be an easy thing.
Well, I think easy. Even if
well, you could it could be just to that area.
Exactly,
like,
right?
You know?
Like, if you kind of walked into this quote-unquote New Orleans Square area, right? And then maybe it is a Tiana-inspired restaurant or something, but then it is decorated in this Mardi Gras fashion, right? And then it is mm-hmm. more so that fun atmosphere, but centric to just that place.
So kind of like yeah, what you have dancers Yeehaw Bob come out does,
and, yeah.
To for like for River Rouge,
yeah.
Very good idea.
I'm just saying it's a possibility and it's an opportunity, really.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea actually, because you think you're opening up additional opportunities for performers right
open
there.
Open up a lot of opportunity for more money.
Yeah,
they want to make more money. Here you go. They'll make back the investment very quickly.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Very quickly.
Yeah. And then you're talking about merch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to buy a Mardi Gras pin for the very first Disney Mardi Gras celebration at Magic Kingdom.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real quick, too, Ryan. You said beignets, and it got me thinking. It won't be too long, roughly 2 weeks. I'll be enjoying beignets myself. But they won't be at Magic Kingdom.
2 weeks.
And they won't be at Port Orleans. Hell, they won't even be in New Orleans.
They won't even be on land.
They will be enjoyed at sea. That's right.
I can officially say I'm 86 days out right now.
Man, I love it. So excited. So, can I? Let me tell you guys. I know we. I'm overtaking the segment here for this, but I'm already packed. like 100% packed.
2 weeks isn't a long time, so I don't blame you.
No, it's just
gives you a time to get the little things that you may have forgot.
Oh,
yep,
I like it.
There, yeah. I mean, it's we're done. We're done, boys. Like it's time to go on vacation, pick up the bag and go.
Yeah,
like that's it. That's it.
That's how you do it.
Me, myself, and my bag.
I'm here for it.
Yep. Oh, and just so everyone in the listening audience knows, if you're not following us on YouTube yet, go follow us on YouTube at Off the Monorails. OTM Shorts channel is there as well. Go subscribe right now because we've got some, let's just say we've made some additional investments into our capabilities for video content. So it's going to be,
do the free things.
Going to be coming very soon for you. So if you like content, especially video content and some cruise content to kick it all off, go subscribe at Off the Monorails on YouTube.
So another little tidbit of news that I have that actually just came out today. There were drones spotted flying over Disney Springs that were lit up and were flying in a sequenced pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they are trying to maybe test some drones for maybe a evening show somewhere in Orlando now.
I don't know.
I mean, it says here just after 7:30 p.m., the drones made several loops around Disney Springs Lake before returning to its launch pad in the parking lot behind Cirque du Soleil. And the drones illuminated with bright purple show lights and carried out several more takeoffs and landings as part of the test. So
sounds like they're doing something exclusive just for Disney Springs.
Well, I know Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, Disneyland Paris.
Disneyland Paris has drones integrated into their evening spectacular.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm here for it.
Oh, I would love it.
It's if it's at Disney Springs, that's cool too. I'm fine with it.
Well, again, they could be doing a small scale production to test, yep. right? And then yep. you roll it out big production for a park. Yeah. Yep.
I'm here for it.
I mean, in my opinion, right, whenever we see these type of things, I think that it's not the end result that we're seeing, right? I think that we're seeing more of the genesis of it rather than the end.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to that, I guess. What about Disney and Sony coming together with a new deal in regards to Disney physical media?
Yeah. This is it's kind of a combined announcement, right? Sony's taking over the physical media rights for Disney. They're going to distribute Disney's physical media for them. So you think Blu-rays, things like that, right?
Yep.
And also part of this whole announcement too was the fact that 25 years, Justin, of the Disney Movie Club?
Yep, 23 years.
23 years. 23, man, what a number. 23 years of the Disney Movie Club, and it will be closing in the next month or so. And
yep.
Yeah, having been a subscriber before to the Disney Movie Club, this is well before Disney Plus was a thing. But that's how I started my Disney Blu-ray collection, was Disney Movie Club. I actually started doing that in anticipation. I started doing it when Gibson was born, and started doing it. So that way, by the time he started getting old enough to start watching Disney movies, we'd have a nice collection built up. And so while you can get most of these movies today on Disney Plus, and that's how we consume most of the media.
But this is where it started.
It's where it started. I still have all of them. And here's another little thing. I'm a rewards junkie. And so I've got the Disney movie rewards, and I've had all those points adding up for all those movies I bought over the years and still am purchasing, or you get points for going to the movies and stuff like that too. But my plan is, saving up these points, and when we go to California, I can use them to cash in for a VIP tour of the studio. So that's what I've got them saved up for. So can't wait for that. It'll be a great time.
Yep. And to put an actual date to this announcement, it will close effective May 20th, 2024.
Hey, that's the day I set sail.
Sailing.
Well, with one door closing, another opens, Ryan.
Yes. Well, speaking of doors opening, what about the room details for the new Polynesian DVC Tower? Since this is kind of the topic of
our
discussion today, we'll wrap up news with this big article.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some impressive layouts here. I mean, these lock off one bedrooms, they look pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, and if you've seen I don't know if you've seen any of the videos yet. I've watched several of the newer DVC Tower. That's the Disneyland Hotel. DVC Tower out in California. Conceptually, very similar from layouts and things like that. So if you want to get an idea, just go watch someone's video. We Love Mammoth Club. They've done some video out there. Nate, like you mentioned, Page and Mr. Morrow. Ryan, he's been out there. They've shown that too. So, or he's shown that too. So, yeah, it's really cool. I think it's going to be a really cool concept. The way that they're building out the tower and having that restaurant at the bottom level, I'm anxious to see if there's going to be a restaurant at the top level. They're going to have another pool area over there. I think it's going to be nice. People are so concerned about it being an eyesore or not matching in or fitting in with the skyline, so to speak, of Seven Seas Lagoon. That's just noise. I think it's going to be great.
It's just people that don't like change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think it's going to fit right in with all the new theming that they've done for the Polynesian main rooms. So let's get to that. We're going to continue our resort series today with the Polynesian. And
it's been a while.
Yeah, it has. If you haven't listened to any of our other resort series episodes, definitely go back in the catalog and take a listen to those. Because what we like to do is we like to dive into a little bit of the history of the resorts. Kind of just let you know where they've been, right? How they've grown up. Some people listening may have grown up going to these resorts. So other people may have not ever stepped foot in one of these. So we want to give you a little bit of background, a little bit of idea of what you can expect when you step into this resort. The theming, obviously. But the layout, what you kind of expect, like where things are, how is it laid out? How is it different than other resorts? What can you get to? What type of food options are there? What kind of shopping options are there? What kind of recreation activities are there? So we'll give you all that and more. And today we're going to the Polynesian. Again, it's one of our favorite resorts. I've stayed there several times personally. Justin, Ryan, I'm not sure. Have you, either of you stayed here? I know you've visited numerous times.
Have not had the privilege of staying here yet.
Neither have I, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, and I like that because I think this allows us to give you, you know, everyone listening a little bit of a different way of looking at things, right? Like I can definitely provide my take on what it's like to stay there. I've stayed in the regular rooms and I've stayed in the DVC rooms. And then as a day guest or a visitor to the resort, kind of what you can take advantage of and how it compares to other resorts to just visit for the day or you know, et cetera. So we like to start off these episodes with a little bit of history and background of the resorts themselves. And as customary, Justin will allow you to guide us through the history of the Polynesian.
Yep. So as you guys know, and I'm going to kick this thing off with a little pop quiz. Ooh. So Disney's Polynesian Village Resort began operation on October 1st, 1971, as one of two resorts that Walt Disney World started off with. My question is, pop quiz, what is the second Disney resort that opened with Walt Disney World on October 1st, 1971?
Fort Wilderness, if I'm not mistaken.
Contemporary. Yeah. Fort Wilderness was like a week later.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was close.
You were.
So.
In proximity and date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's neither here nor there.
Nice work, pal.
Yep. The resort has a South Seas theme. Originally opened with 492 rooms, and it was designed by the Welton, Beckett, and Associates and constructed by U.S. Steel Realty Development. As you know, it's owned and operated by the Disney Parks Experiences and Products Division. Since its opening in 71, the resort has seen three major expansions, the first in 78, which is where they built the Tangaroa. What is that, George?
Yeah, Tangaroa Terrace.
Tangaroa. With the restaurant, which is Ohana, and the support facilities there, and a secondary pool. The second expansion took place in 1985, where they built the additional two longhouses. And in that same year, the resort adopted the shortened name Disney's Polynesian Resort versus what it used to be known as the Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. On May 2nd, 2014, it was announced that the resort would revert to the Disney's Polynesian Village Resort title while expanding further to include Disney Vacation Club accommodations, which is, Jordan, what you had spoke on earlier. And they are actually expanding on the DVC additions currently.
Yeah.
As we all know, it's situated on the Seven Seas Lagoon south of Magic Kingdom, adjacent to other Disney World complexes like the TTC Center. You have Grand Floridian just down the line from the monorail loop. And, of course, as the previously mentioned, Contemporary Resort.
All of your monorail loop resorts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The entire monorail loop right there. With an extra little kink to get onto Epcot. So let's talk about that for a second. So access to the parks. You definitely have access to Magic Kingdom, no problem from Polynesian.
Yeah.
No problem. However, the only other option you have is to Epcot. And fortunately enough, it's only a short couple of minute ride to get to the TTC where you do a exchange, go ahead and move on over to the other line, mm-hmm. and then board the monorail there, and it'll take you to Epcot. So you can access two of the four major parks here in Disney World if you stay here at the Polynesian Village Resort by monorail.
Yeah, and actually staying here gives you a little bit of advantage for TTC, where you can actually walk from Polynesian. There's a direct path that sits to the east side where the DVC longhouses are. And there's a direct path to the TTC security area. So, I mean, you can walk right up and be right there in that security area where you come to from, like, the trams and everything like that from the Magic Kingdom parking lot. And so you can walk right up, go through security, and then you can be right there and get on the ferry boat to Magic Kingdom. You can get on the monorail to Magic Kingdom, or you can go on the monorail over to Epcot. There's also buses there you can get on. But that's primarily what we do when we're staying there and we want to take the monorail or we want to go to Magic Kingdom or to Epcot. We'll do that because the monorail ride, right, that you have to take from Polynesian stops at Grand Floridian first and then comes around to Magic Kingdom. So if you're looking to save a little bit of time, that's what I would recommend is going that way and just taking the ferry boat directly to Magic Kingdom or taking the monorail to Epcot from there.
So let's talk about the overall design and inspirations, if you will, mm-hmm. of the resort. So it has a very beachy, like Bora Bora, Fiji, Hawaii, Samoan vibes to it. Mm-hmm. It really has a modern take on it over the years. They've really adapted this place to bring it more forward to current day, especially with the addition of the DVC towers that are being implemented as well. With it being a original staple on Walt Disney World's property, I'd say they have adapted this place pretty well, changing all the different color schemes that they've done over the years. Yeah. The current one has like a the river rock, like a turquoise. What else would you colorize it as? Kind of like a bluish green.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's just got a lot of ocean tones.
Yeah.
Ocean tones.
Yeah. A lot of earth tones. It's, you know, it's just super robust in its theming around the island itself, right? It's almost as the resort. Whether it's the buildings themselves or whether it's the carpeting, walls, what have you, it's like an extension of the habitat, right? It's an extension of that tropical foresty feel, right? Where you've got that live vegetation everywhere. And it's, like I said, it's almost an extension of that into the flooring and into, right? A lot of the flooring throughout the resort is that river rock, right? That's that natural stone flooring, right? I mean, they have, as you walk into the resort, right from the main entrance, you have this, you know, these waterfalls on each side of you cascading, right? And just a great, you know, just a great ambience, right? With the
great centerpiece, the torches too, with the lit. Yeah, the torches.
But yeah, as you enter the Great Hall, right, you're greeted by Maui, the tiki there in the middle, which has definitely changed, right? That wasn't always there. And the lobby itself looks a lot different today than it did even just 10 to 15 years ago. There, you know, there was a waterfall feature in there in the lobby, but this went, you know, this lobby area went under a huge overhaul back in like 2014, but also recently, when they redid the monorail station, the lobby was all all up in construction. So it's in my opinion, it's nice. It's one of those lobbies that you can sit in and relax, and it definitely puts you in the tropical getaway oasis vibe immediately. But it has changed a little bit as well, right? It's not, a lot of people miss that waterfall feature inside the lobby, right? Where it was much more lush inside. They had a lot more vegetation inside that, and they opened it up to make it a little bit more, to make it more open, make it more feel open.
Foot traffic.
And allow for more, allow for more open seating and things like that. So I could go either way with it, but it's the full vibe of the resort and the buildings and the architecture and design, they speak directly to the traditional influence that the resort has. Yep. And pulls from that the Polynesian Isles area of the world, but also having a nice modern take on that.
Yeah, and see, like, the detail that I like too, when you speak of like the they kind of take on the aura of the Polynesian Isles, is even the layout of the longhouses throughout the property.
Yeah,
they are actually named with like the relativity and location geographically, mm-hmm. where the islands are located throughout the Polynesia area of our globe. So I think that's a pretty cool take. And, you know, the names from the original longhouses were changed for a short period of time.
Yep.
But then in the reimaging you're speaking of in like 2014, 2015, they actually took back their original names of all the longhouses from the opening days.
Yeah. And they just basically had to do that with the expansions that they did, right, with DVC. So, which I like, I love the concept of breathing that natural life back, you know, into a resort and let it be influenced. And then the way it, laying them out in that traditional longhouse style, but then also taking one step further, let's think about it one step further and be like, oh, well, let's try to name them in a fashion that is geographically correct. It's, yeah. I mean, who thinks of that, right? Like, it's really cool. So let's talk about a little bit about the different rooms and room types you can have. You know, I said in the opening of this that I had the pleasure of staying in the regular rooms. I've had the pleasure of staying in the DVC rooms. Some people listening may be like, what the heck is that? And so much like all of the deluxe resorts at Walt Disney World, they all have a standard area of the resort, and then they have Disney Vacation Club areas. And so Polynesian has just that. They had the standard area of the resort, which have you can get most of the rooms are there are two queen setups. There are some single king setups with a couch as well, but most of them are going to be a double queen setup for you. And recently those rooms all got renovated to have an influence of Moana theming. And we stayed in those rooms in October of 22, I'm pretty sure it was. I think it was October of 22. We stayed in right after they renovated, right after they started opening these rooms. And it was the first time that we stayed in the regular rooms. We had stayed in DVC prior to this. That was our first time staying there, was in DVC accommodations. But the rooms themselves were great. They've got different room types, right? You can get a standard view that gives you a view of the parking lot, essentially. They've got other room types that give you water views. Now, that may not necessarily mean the lagoon. It could also mean the pool. And then they also have park theme park view as well, which those are usually your most premium room types there. And then they also do have concierge level rooms. So, and they have giant suites. So you can definitely, if you want to go and be a baller and spend some money, you can definitely do that. And I'll tell you, I mean, the accommodations are super nice, but of course they come with a price tag. So those are the standard type of rooms. And then your DVC accommodations, pretty unique here. And this is why I get excited personally about the DVC tower coming here soon, is the DVC rooms right now, it's two styles of room. You've got all the longhouse rooms are one queen bed, a Murphy style pull down queen bed, and then the small like stowaway, basically twin size bed. So it can sleep up to five adults, or four adults and one child. And then they do have two bathrooms, which is also very nice. And one bathroom has your toilet with your shower and your tub combination. And then the other bathroom is just a sink and a stand-up shower. But helps when you have a full room. The other DVC style room that you have are the Bora Bora bungalows. And this is a series.
Talk about balling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a series of 20 separate buildings, separate bungalows that sit on Seven Seas Lagoon and connected by a dock. And it's supposed to mimic the style, you know, the bungalows that you would find in Bora Bora or Fiji, right?
Almost to the T.
So very nice. I have not been in one personally or stayed in one personally, but I've been up very close to them, and I've watched plenty of video of them that I have a pretty good understanding of what they offer, and the theming is great. They got updated when the other DVC rooms got updated a couple years ago, again in enhanced with the light Moana-esque theming.
Back in 2021.
But here's the caveat to those bungalows. As I mentioned earlier, the DVC side of the resort is the closest side to the TTC. And I mentioned that, you know, if you want to go to Magic Kingdom from TTC, one of the options is the ferry boat. The ferry boat runs pretty much all day long. And that horn is loud. And it blows often. Those bungalows sit right on the water. And the units that are furthest east are directly next to maybe not even a couple hundred feet away from that ferry boat launch. I would be very upset if I pay that money to stay in those bungalows right there and got placed right next to the TTC. And I had to hear that all day long. I could not.
That's actually a fair argument. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about these rooms are typically, depending on the season, two, three, four grand a night rooms.
Yeah.
So now obviously you don't have to pay that. You can go visit our friends at DVC Rental Store and rent points for these rooms and save a lot of money compared to the Disney rates. So go check them out. There's a link in our episode description. Make it easy for you. But that's how, you know, that's how you stay here. But I'd be hesitant to stay in those bungalows. As nice as they are, it's the traffic there for that ferry, a little too much for me.
Yeah.
So I think this is probably an easy comparison then, like just throwing it up out there. If you had a toss up matchup between the bungalows staying there or the cabins at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, the Copper Creek cabins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You should know my answer, Justin. We'll get to the
Cascade cabins all day.
Yeah, we'll get to
that's what I'm saying. Lobbying it up against
They're very similar in nature, right? And we'll get to, we haven't got to the resort series yet for Wilderness Lodge. We'll discuss in greater detail the Cascade cabins there.
Who knows? That may be the next one.
It may be. We might save it best for last. Call it best for last. Best.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. But in any case, yes. I would stay there 10 times before I stayed in the bungalows, especially considering that the cabins usually are still a little cheaper. And I think actually on the points, on the DVC point value scale, they are less points than the bungalow. So,
and more secluded, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and that's probably the top reason I'd pick those over. So, there you go.
So say that with what you will.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about. I know, guys. You've visited here and have eaten here at this resort and several different stops.
We get food track.
You know, we got it. We're good for it. So let's talk a little bit about the different food offerings here at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. Starting off with some of the quick service options, and we'll start off with Captain Cooks. This can be found in the Great Ceremonial House, but it's kind of snakes into the back corner of it. It sits kind of adjacent to the Tiki Terrace outside. This is one of the more unique quick service locations, especially at a resort, because you can find different Polynesian-inspired dishes, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Right? For breakfast, you can go and get the Tonga toast here, which is definitely a staple for this resort.
Amazing.
That's a giant French toast with the like a bananas Foster in the middle of it. Man, it just gets covered in syrup and just deliciousness.
I want it now.
Yeah. But for lunch, dinner, they have some great wings. They've got
meatballs.
The coconut meatballs and rice. Super good.
Yeah.
The nachos there, also really good. Slept on a little bit, I think. Just
a lot of options.
A lot of different options. A lot of different flavors. And again, I appreciate it. It can get a little crowded because it isn't the largest place. Most of the seating is outside on that terrace that basically just overlooks the pool area, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. But it is nice, right? You go outside in this nice terrace, this water feature, the big waterfall right there, tiki torches all around you. It's just, we've got some video of this area on our Instagram at Off the Monorails. Go check it out. It is a complete vibe, but the quick service restaurant itself, super, super small. Probably the smallest on property.
But it does offer mobile ordering.
Yes, as most of them
do
now.
Take advantage of
it. As most of them do now. This does offer mobile ordering, so you can take advantage of that. I've done it when we stayed here. Done it several times. Go, order while I'm on the way, and it's ready by the time I get there usually. So, yeah, it makes it a little easier. But if you want to go in and sit there, it sometimes can be a little busy.
Yeah. Yep. Well, another place that tends to get busy, that would be the Pineapple Lanai, which is solely dedicated pretty much to Dole Whips.
Yeah.
But there could be quite the line that forms here from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
The iconic Dole Whip, though. I mean, you don't have to go into a park to get to it. It's right there for your enjoyment. So,
yeah.
It's a great location for it, too. Right there in the shade, just right in the corner, just outside this Great Ceremonial House. And just on the way, steps away from lounge chairs that are poolside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great spot. I mean, we visit Pineapple Eye probably almost every time we're at Polynesian, whether we're visiting for the afternoon or staying there. It is a frequent visit for sure. Especially if you you're not driving, you're just relaxing, you get a little floater of tequila or rum in that thing too.
Oh yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Also available here is something I literally just commented on recently on an episode. And it's a staple of mine. I love this restaurant, Ohana. It is a character dining experience where you can meet Stitch, Lilo, Pluto, and Mickey all in their beach and island decor. And, man, the food. Oh, my gosh. The breakfast options. You get that island ham. Get the pog juice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. It is so good. I have not had the dinner yet, but I have watched several videos of it with all the like
dinner
shrimp
slept on.
Shrimp and chicken skewers.
It's one of the harder recipes.
Chicken wings.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the
wings. Chicken wings, like the beef
the
skewers,
noodles.
The noodles, the pot stickers.
The bread pudding.
Just the everything.
All of it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, our buddy Ryan at For the Love of Theme Parks, he did a video recently of his experience there for dinner. I think he actually did breakfast recently too, but go check out his videos at For the Love of Theme Parks on YouTube and at For the Love of Vlogging. Go check out his YouTube channel. He does some really, really great work. Good buddy of ours. But if you want to, if you want a little insight and see what dinner at Ohana looks like, go check out that video. And if you'd like to hear more about our conversation with Ryan, we had him on for an episode, and we got to talk a little bit about Disney history and things like that.
We're due for a new one.
Yeah. Talking about one of those guys that's one of those people, just really good people, right? He became a friend of the program very quickly, and so go give him some love and go check out his channel. He does some really good work.
So very similar to Ohana, which is, it's actually right outside the entrance to Ohana, you have Tambu Lounge, which is basically a scaled down bar atmosphere version of Ohana with, you know, bits and pieces of the menu. You know, you can get the noodles and the wings and like some pot stickers at the bar and not really have to worry about, you know, getting a reservation. But you can get a little bit of a scale back version. I think you can even maybe get some sushi there from time to time.
Yeah.
But another great spot to just people watch, looking into the lobby, and
home to one of Justin's favorite beverages at Disney.
The Lapu Lapu.
If you're at Polynesian ever, you will start to see, if you spend a little bit of time there, you'll begin to see people walking around with straws sticking out
of pineapples.
That is the Lapu Lapu. So if you want to get festive and blend in with the crowd, then go grab you one from Tambu Lounge. It's a good little spot. It's a good little spot. You get to look out there, right? Yeah. You know, you're on the second level. You get to see out, and you're kind of facing the Magic Kingdom and the Seven Seas Lagoon and stuff. It's good. It's a good little
spot. Just a whole vibe.
Get you one of them drinks. Get you a big ass plate of wings. Life couldn't be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about one of my favorites. We actually just went there a few weeks ago. Ryan, we had the pleasure of dining together there not too long ago as well. One of the other restaurants right there, adjacent to Ohana and Tambu Lounge, is Kona Cafe.
Don't sleep on it.
And
it's a good one.
This is where, I mean, you could find a lot of island-inspired dishes. You get a lot more of that Japanese influence into this menu as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you can find some like good staples, like, you know, you can find good wings and things like that, but really good sushi, possibly the best sushi on Disney property. It can be found here. You can find some different noodle dishes here. You can find, you can get like a burger and stuff like that. So the menu variety is pretty strong here, in my opinion. But it's got, and I think in that regard, it has something for everybody.
If they even have like a slow cooked short rib that Brianna got, and it is really delicious.
Yeah. So, yeah, I highly recommend the lunch and dinner service. The breakfast service is also super, super good. That's what we just had recently. And they have that island ham. They've got the macadamia pancakes with the pineapple chunks on it. Goodness gracious, they're so good.
If your mouth isn't watering, you're not doing it right now.
Yeah, they've got like a peppered bacon and stuff. They really do it right. They've got Hawaiian, you know, French press coffee that they serve there as well. You can do a lot of damage when it comes to eating good at Kona.
They got the food game locked down here.
And if you don't have time to stop and dine there, they do have a little kind of quick service station to the side as well, where you can grab some, you know, quick to go sushi or some coffee, pastries,
sandwiches.
So take advantage of that. And little tidbit, right? So like everyone loves the bread pudding that they have at Ohana.
You're about to hit them with some knowledge here.
You can order that at Kona, and I've actually mobile ordered it from Kona when we were staying here. And so I just literally mobile ordered it, walked up to Kona, grabbed the bread pudding, which they have like this with ice cream and stuff and caramels, this kind of caramel sauce, and then took it back to the room and ate that. Just So I didn't have to make a reservation. I didn't have to go pay an exorbitant price.
$65 a person.
Yeah. I bought what
listen
I wanted.
To the man. Life hack.
So if you're looking for that fix that you know, want to scratch that itch, you can do it by doing that.
Well, speaking of scratching that itch, Jordan, you have been able to experience the holy grail of Polynesian vibe.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell the people about Trader Sam's.
Yeah. Trader Sam's Grotto Grotto is a miraculous place. Let's just put it that way. It is a bar. It's a themed tiki bar. If you want to kind of get lost in the sauce, so to speak, for a little while, great place to hang out, a very entertaining place. It is kid. I would say it's older kid friendly, up until I think it's 8 o'clock on every night. And then is 21 and up after that. But fantastic. It's your tiki bar. If you're familiar with going to different tiki bars, themed drinks all over the place, special souvenir cups, tiki cups, things like that, which again, knowing us, we've said it time and time again, we love collecting. So this is, a fun thing for me to do. But a little bit of food items there, not too much. But what I've had some tacos in the past. They were pretty good. But really fun atmosphere. The bartenders really get into it. Everybody in the room, which the room probably holds like 50 people max. So it's not a big area, and it's very unassuming when you're walking down the hallway. Which is just down the hallway from Captain Cook's that we mentioned earlier. It's just a door. That's literally all it is. So it's very unassuming from the outside, but inside it's fantastically themed. Just think a bar in the middle of the Enchanted Tiki Room at Magic Kingdom.
Vibes.
That's what it is, right? So just think about the
thunderstorm.
Think about the effects and all the things happening around the Enchanted Tiki Room at Magic Kingdom. Put a bar in that atmosphere, and you're bound to have a really good time. So, and my favorite is the Easter
minus
eggs.
The bird shit.
Yes, 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 yes. My favorite is the Easter eggs that you kind of find throughout the decorations and things like that. They have certain nods to different Disney history, things like that. Last time we were there, we found like Maui's hook kind of displayed in one of the shelving. It's fun to do that. They got some 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea references in there. So fun for those Disney nerds a little bit too. But overall, just you could take anyone in there and have a really good time. So
hearing all that,
Trader Sam is also a nod to just Jungle Cruise itself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that.
So hearing all this, you'd be like, wow, I would like to experience that just like everyone else would probably like to. So Jordan, hit him with the whoa, boss.
Yeah. So it typically opens at about 3:30 every day. But if you try to go at 3 or 3:30, there will probably be a line already down the hallway, literally completely down the hallway. And that's a line that got there well after people got there at around 1:30, 1:45, 2 o'clock to put their name on the list in advance to get that first opening call or text back saying, hey, come on in. So if you want to visit, get your name on the list early. There's no like guaranteed reservations or anything like that. It's literally get your name on the list with the host at the door. They'll text you when it's ready. And usually you got about 15 minutes to get there or you're giving up your spot. I have been able to, now this isn't guaranteed, but I have been able to get a text message, say that my reservation, my time's ready, went to the host and said, hey, the rest of my party's not available yet. They're, whether they're getting ready, getting a shower, what have you, can I come back in 30 minutes? And I have been allowed to do that before. But obviously, that's not guaranteed. It's probably going to be dependent on how busy they are, how many people they have on the list, et cetera. So don't take that as any type of guarantee. But I'm just letting you know that it could be a possibility. But for the most part, you probably
always
wanna,
ask.
Yeah, you want to try to stick to just being readily available to go visit. So, and that's what makes it hard to go here, right? Because if you're you almost have to be staying at the resort to go, because if you're not, then you're dedicating yourself possibly a couple hours to just be hanging around Polynesian so you can get that text message that it's your time.
Yeah.
So it's, while I could easily spend a couple hours at the Polynesian, I could find some things to do. You know, for some people that could be a long time.
Well, speaking of, you know, filling in some of that time there, I want to take it on over into our next section here. Talk about the shopping and the options that are available here. I know all of us at some point have found some very unique merchandise here, island inspired or otherwise, but there are some hidden jewels from time to time that pop up at the Polynesian shopping sections, if you will. Guys, do you have anything that you remember buying that was like an exclusive or something that was just off the wall unique?
Yeah, I mean, we, especially during the 50th anniversary, they had, because this was an opening day resort, right? They had a lot of 50th, special 50th merchandise for the Polynesian resort. I was able to get my hands on a few pieces of that memorabilia. But we've, you know, over at Boutique, which is the main store there on the lobby level and the ground level of the Great Ceremonial House, it's the largest store at the resort. They've had some Aulani merchandise there. They've had Olamel.
Yep, I've seen them
merchandise as well, which is like a friend of Duffy. Like Duffy the Bear comes from a lot of the Disney Japan stuff. So you can find some of that there from time to time. They have really cool, just like they've developed more and more Polynesian centric items as well for the resort. They've had a few pieces of merchandise dedicated for like Trader Sam's, which is really cool. And then you can find things that are, again, more natural to that resort, right? Lots of Moana merchandise, lots of Lilo and Stitch merchandise, lots of just tropical inspired merchandise, right? You can find a lot of things from
Tommy Bahama,
right? I actually mentioned that a couple
weeks
ago.
Yeah, I got a straw hat from Boutique.
Yeah, I've got a nice floral Tommy Bahama shirt that I'm actually going to be wearing on the cruise in a couple weeks. But you can find things like that there, unique pins, things like that too. It's always a great spot for some pins. They have some more of the luxury items too. So if you're looking for some of those limited edition, like Dooney and Burke and things like that, some more of those luxury items, you can usually find them there as well.
So, exclusive lounge flies.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
I've been able to find quite a few different things. And they even have things from the islands, right? Like they have macadamia nuts and coffees and things like that that imported, you know, from Hawaii.
Shell necklaces. I've
over
seen
there.
Those.
Yeah. So,
yep. Well, like Jordan, your kids even did an activity where they made kukui nut necklaces, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that probably goes more for the activities section of what this resort has to offer. But yeah, they have things like that for sale here at these shops. And for the other one, which is, Maui's gift shop is what it's called, I believe. And that
Moana
is the
Mercantile.
Is it Moana Mercantile now?
Yeah.
Okay. So they've changed it. So it was Maui's. Now it's Moana Mercantile. But that's on the second floor, basically across from Kona Cafe, adjacent to the kind of the monorail station where you get on or off the monorail there at the resort. But it's got a lot of Moana merchandise, a lot of Stitch merchandise. It's got, I see more like kids clothing, kids, you know, like park wear and accessories.
Yeah, it's more of your standard gift shop type.
It is,
vibe there.
The games, the take home things. They even have a small section for like a store, right, where you could go get, you know, frozen pizzas and food items and bread and chips and beer and wine and sodas and toiletries, things like that you may need for your accommodations. And they include they offer the frozen stuff and for the DVC accommodations, right, where they have the fridges and things like that. But yeah, they do offer those items as well. So those are the two stores there on the property. That's it. So if you want to get some shopping done at the Polynesian, those are your options.
And just real quick, we just want to make sure we go over the grounds as well. So you have like a beach area. You cannot swim in the Seven Seas Lagoon. Let's just throw that out there.
You used to be able to. That was one of the attractions for this resort, is that they had a quote-unquote natural swimming area, right, where they had this beach line that you could literally go. It's like being on the beach. You could lay out or what have you, play in the sand, and then you could just walk out into Seven Seas Lagoon and treat it as your beachfront, you know, like your lake. They did remove that capability, but yeah, I love the fact of having that beachfront that you can walk on. They have just lounge chairs out there, some swings, and just out there relaxing, especially at nighttime, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we've mentioned before several times, enjoying some of the Magic Kingdom's fireworks activities and nightly shows.
Yeah.
You can enjoy it right there as well. Just a different scene and a different viewpoint.
And honestly, one of my favorites. Whether we're staying on the lawn or we're staying on the beach, it's a great vantage point to take in the show and honestly not have to deal with the crowd on Main Street.
Oh yeah,
and they pump in the music as
yes,
well.
Yes, they do.
Yep. Correct. Yep. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I think last time we were there, Ryan and his wife were there too, and we were taking it in right there from the lawn.
Yep, right after Kona Cafe. Yep, mm-hmm. And you have front row seating to the Electrical Water Pageant too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's yep,
a nightly spectacular. It's a great thing. I love it. Yeah. They pipe in the music for that too.
Yeah, and that's something you're only going to experience at the resort loop there, right? Where you're not experiencing that anywhere else. It's only for the Magic Kingdom resort area, right? So that thing dates back to the opening of Disney World itself as well. So
yep.
You want to talk about just, you know, the ability to take in an additional little thing of nostalgia for, especially for Disney buffs, then that's, yeah, it's one pretty strong piece of nostalgia to take in.
Well, and another, you know, I wouldn't say it's a good piece of history, but it's cool. I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but it happened here was John Lennon actually signed the paperwork that,
oh yeah,
you know, eventually broke up the Beatles in December of 1974 at the Polynesian Resort.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You can, so. I mean, you can walk right by the building today. It's in the Samoa section. And you can walk right by the room today of where he signed the papers. So pretty cool little pieces of history that have happened around.
Do they
Disney.
Have any significant markings
no,
at
no,
the resort for this?
No,
no,
no. It's just people like us blabbering our mouths. Hey, did you know that John Lennon signed the papers to?
Yeah, that's like Richard Nixon giving his "I'm not a crook" speech at the Contemporary
Convention Center. Yeah, yeah. It just
yeah, we're nerds. Get over it.
So all around the resort, you have barbecue areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually two gas barbecue stations as well with the DVC longhouses.
Yeah.
But you have plenty of options here. Lots of grounds to experience and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
You got sidewalks going here and there and everywhere all around here. You could actually walk to the Magic Kingdom all the way around as well.
Yeah.
Going past the Grand Floridian and using the recently completed pathway as of last year. And, you know, you have a lot of areas here that mm-hmm. can attract your walkers, your runners, and just overall, you know,
just people wanting to get
escaping.
Yeah. People like, wanting to enjoy the outside and enjoy nature. I mean, it's a good,
right.
It's a good place for that. And I will say too, I want to get into a little bit of those recreational activities that you could expect at Deluxe Resort, especially. One of the standouts for this resort, and possibly in a negative way, is a lot of the resorts, especially the deluxe resorts, have fitness centers, right? They have gyms you can go to. This resort does not have a fitness center. You actually have to go, you actually have to walk over to the Grand Floridian and use their fitness center. So if you are looking for that, then just take note of that. But
yeah, didn't that go to the wayside because of the pandemic?
No, I don't think they've ever had it.
It was never there.
They've never had it.
The Spirit of Aloha dinner show and Lilo's Playhouse fell victim to
that's what I'm
the
thinking.
Yeah. Pandemic.
Lilo's Playhouse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, both of those closed.
As for the other recreational activities, let's talk about the pools, because this is probably the highlight, one of the main highlights of this resort, right? Now, I know you guys have seen the pools. I've enjoyed these pools numerous times now. Let's talk about the smallest one first, which is the Oasis pool. I'm going to call it the DVC pool, but it's just the secondary pool that's kind of pushed over to the east side of the resort. Just kind of sits in between some of the longhouses, and it's definitely much, much smaller compared to the lava pool area, which is the main pool. But there are some, there are three cabanas here. You do have to pay and reserve those cabanas. But they're, you know, a dedicated, you know, covered area. But most part, decent pool area. It's got a hot tub as well over there. A couple hot tubs, actually. It's got a nice pool bar that I've experienced and just hung out. And usually this is the place where when we get to the Polynesian to stay, we arrive early in the morning and our room's not ready yet. We'll go right over here, go to the bathrooms. There's a nice bathroom station right there. We'll go change and we'll just enjoy the pool right here at the Oasis pool. Until our room's ready.
That's what we preach all the time.
So it's a really good area for that, for relaxing. It's a little bit more quiet. It's definitely quieter than the lava pool. But again, just a good sized, decent sized pool that is just good for relaxing and just, you know, soaking in some of the sun. As for its counterpart, the lava pool is where the action is at. So
the star of the show,
it's called the lava pool because it is in the setting of a volcano. And, this is where you're going to find a giant, pool area itself. There's a giant waterfall cascading from the volcano, that you kind of can swim behind. Very much grotto-like in a sense. I mean, there's actually bathrooms tucked behind there as well. So you could kind of walk behind the waterfall and underneath the volcano and kind of into this like cavernous area. They've got a huge kids play area here, like a wet zone play area with several slides and just different kind of obstacles throughout. The kids really enjoy that area. They've got one of the best slides at Disney, a water slide that you go all the way to the top of this volcano and then take it down. Not sure how long the slide is, but the views from up there are great because you can great, you know, visuals of the Magic Kingdom and the castle and surrounding areas. So really cool to take in and enjoy that. And then you talk about the bar that's connected right there as well, serving up some great drinks. You even get a little bit of food items there too. But just a great place that if you really want to have a fun filled day of pool activities, this is one to enjoy.
And like we said earlier, Pineapple on Ice is literally footsteps away. So yeah. Dole Whip says your heart's content. Lapu Lapus. I mean, come on.
And they've got
You still have the Barefoot Pool Bar there too with the smoothies, uh-huh. And they got drinks there too. So yeah. Don't sleep on the Barefoot Pool Bar now. Yeah.
And they've got other activities as well right there on the lawn that's literally next to the pool area where, you know, they'll do activities like hula hoop contests and different things out there with cast members. So there's something for everyone to do pretty much all the time. So take that in. You can go on boat rides from here. You can rent a pontoon, et cetera, and go out on Seven Seas Lagoon with it. You can do the fireworks cruises from here. We've mentioned those in the past where you can get a group of people together and rent one of the boats and take it out during the fireworks with a guided captain. You can do a lot of fun fishing things from this
everything
resort.
With the marina.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and most of all, go to guest services and get laid.
Yeah. Who doesn't like getting laid?
Right.
At the Polynesian.
It's on my list.
Check.
So, yeah.
But for real, it's free. It's an option for you.
Yeah, you don't even have to pay for it.
That's illegal in Florida.
Different type of lay. Different type of lay.
Okay. But all in all, this is a beautiful, magnificent resort. And they're still to this day, 50 plus years later, adding to it. And it already has a massive footprint, but it has taken a new stance and a new presence in the Monorail Loop area. And, I mean, quite frankly, it's going to become more striking than the Grand Floridian or the Contemporary, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, when that new tower opens, and I want to see how it flows with it, right?
I want to see it light up and reflect off of Seven Seas.
Yeah, I
want
to see the nightlife.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be
an evolution, right? It's just the next step.
Good way of putting it.
I think it's going to be a step in the right direction, though. I think they've done really great things with this resort. It was one of those resorts too that, again, as we started going to Disney as adults, because like I've mentioned in the past, we stayed at Disney resorts only a handful of times growing up. We stayed off site most of the time. Although we went to Disney a lot and to other theme parks a lot in Orlando, we rarely stayed on property at Disney. And so growing up and then, you know, becoming an adult, going to Disney, Polynesian was one of those like, man, I would love to maybe stay there one day. But I don't know if I could get the chance, right? I would love to get the chance. I'd love to be able to have the opportunity to stay here and take it all in, see what it's like to stay here. And you know, we found companies like DVC Rental Store that allow us to rent points and stay here cheaper, right, than what we'd pay rack rates to Disney, right? And you just take advantage of those opportunities, and it has become one of my favorites to stay at, right? It's especially just the way the rooms are laid out. Again, those two bathrooms make a huge difference when you have a family getting ready. In the DVC area, but I love what they've done with the newer renovations over the last several years there around the entire property. It's super beautiful. I can't wait to take you guys there. I really want you guys to experience what it is like to stay there and just enjoy the nightlife that is at the Polynesian as well.
Yeah, we're gonna need to be staying there because when we hit Trader Sam's, it's
game over.
There's no walking. Yeah, there's no walking back. We will be on all fours begging for
mercy. We're
going
to rent Justin a scooter.
He'll just drive us.
And drive it full.
No. Just got to make sure it's all left turns.
Yes.
You know? Naturally. No, I really look forward to being able to stay here one day and visiting it. I mean, I already love the resort for what it is, just visiting it. I can't imagine having it at my fingertips, you know, at any given notice during my stay. Like that's just a lot of fun things to ponder on.
Yeah, so
definitely one of the ones still on my list.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can make that a reality for you here sooner rather than later. So but there you have it, guys. There is the resort series for the Polynesian. Again, if you want to learn more about the other resorts at Disney, we've done all of the value resorts category. We've done all the moderate resorts category, and we have started our deluxe category as well. We've done Animal Kingdom Lodge and Grand Floridian prior to this. So go check out those episodes, learn a little bit more about them. See, and hopefully this helps you decide, hey, maybe it is worth me checking out this resort and staying here on our next trip, right? Maybe it is, you know, I'll go check out DVC Rental Store and see if I can get some points from them to stay here. So,
hey, the more info you have, the more educated you are spending your money.
That's our goal for it. So, hope you learned a little bit of something today. and have some good takeaways for it. Besides that, guys, it's March. We're in full swing. Spring break's about to be here. Cruise time's about to be here. Trips are about to be here, Ryan.
We've got
a full schedule. Again, if you haven't followed us on socials, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, now's TikTok, YouTube, go follow us, go subscribe to us. We've got new video content coming soon for YouTube. Super excited about that. New merch is available. This is a reminder, guys. We just dropped, if you aren't following us on social or if you didn't see, we just released our new design for St. Patty's this year, which I'm very fond of. It was kind of
avoid the pinch.
We kind of made it as for a little bit of loving support for Ryan having a bad week, and kind of wanted to lift his spirits up by making a fun St. Patty's themed shirt, but also kind of take care of one of his favorite things about Disney and about Epcot. And so we've got our whole Rose and Crown collection available that kind of help you get into the St. Patty's spirit. But for this year, we decided to release a new shirt, and it's the Leaping Leprechaun. So if you are familiar with the drink served at Rose and Crown, which is one of the staples for Ryan and his Epcot visits, then go grab the shirt off themonorails.com, go into the shop, go grab one of those and have fun and get in time for St. Patty's Day. So you still got time. If you're listening to this right now on release day, you still got time. So go grab it and be festive. Anything else, guys, you want to add before we get out of here?
Yeah, just make sure you check out our wonderful partners and the episode description. Show some love to all those fine folks that have helped support us over the 2 years of this podcast's existence. They have great products. So you got candles with 1901 Candle Co. You got coffee with Expedition Roasters. Just, you got the world at your fingertips. Just make sure you go give them some love and use the appropriate checkout coupons. Save yourself some money.
Yeah, and just another thing, just a big thank you to all of our listeners and followers out there. Any bit of interaction and reviews that we get from you guys is greatly appreciated. So if any of your podcast platforms allow you to rate us or review us, be sure and do so. It helps add us to the algorithm and gets us out to more people just like you that want to hear our banter and our stupidity sometimes. It happens. But again, just a big thank you to the guys and gals that have already been here for this ride. And if you're new here, welcome. It's great to have you here. And we just love doing this. And you guys keep stoking the fire that's under our ass. And it makes going back and getting all this information more and more fun every time. Just, make sure you're following along, because there's still much, much more to come. We're 108 episodes in, and I hope we do 108 more and keep going from there. And, it's been fun, and I don't want to stop having fun. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, but especially on the near horizon, we got cruise content coming. Make sure you stay peeled. Make sure you like all of the stuff for social medias, Twitters, Instagrams, TikToks, all of that stuff. Make sure you go and do all that now before Jordan hits the wide open seas and fills us with some great content. Can't wait to see it, Jordan.
Can't wait to experience it. Can't wait to share it with all of you. So with that, until next time, we'll catch you then. I'm Jordan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Off the Monorails.